Greetings and welcome to the NASBO Pulse, the podcast where we are monitoring issues in state procurement.
We've got our finger on the pulse.
I'm your host, Josh Dakota.
And I'm Kevin Miner.
And we are so glad to be back in the studio after our first live recording in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, you know, it's good to be home, but that was awesome. Getting to interview Dan in front of a live audience.
Dan was so cool. And yeah, if you haven't, go back and listen to our live recording on vendor performance tracking. We have games, gotta love the games, and audience participation. And we already mentioned, Dan is a great storyteller, and this is one that you don't want to miss.
Yeah, so stop listening to this episode, go back, listen to those episodes, and then come back and finish listening to this episode.
Absolutely.
I think next time I want to get one of those like light up applause laugh signs for the audience.
That's what the laugh tracks are for, Kevin. But actually, in all honesty, we didn't even need them.
That's true. That's true. Absolutely. So what's on the agenda for today, Josh?
Yes. We are talking with Thor Vu, Chief Procurement Officer for the great state of Alaska. For the past few years, the Alaska Procurement Office has been going through a centralization process.
We're going to ask Thor to discuss some of the challenges his office has faced thus far during the process, buy-in, cooperation, implementation, stuff like that.
Yep, and we'll also talk to Thor about Alaska's new centers of procurement excellence and the experiences he can share with other states.
We're also going to play a new game with Thor called the Key Takeaway Game, where Josh and I each present Thor with a key takeaway from the interview.
The pressure is on Thor because he will decide whose takeaway is better. But we already know who's going to win.
Are you insinuating that you're going to win the takeaway game?
Maybe.
Okay, well, we'll see about that. You got questions, comments? We'd love to hear from you. Email us, podcast@naspo.org. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure to check out our blog, pulse.naspo.org, and catch up on some procurement articles written by your very own NASBO staff.
All right, let's take the pulse.
Yeah.
Thor, can you briefly give us some of your experience in procurement and your responsibilities in your role as CPO?
Sure, Josh. Yeah, and first of all, thank you for having me on this NASBO experience. I think it's a wonderful opportunity to share, you know, my experience and the experience of Alaska. So to answer your question, my procurement and contracting career started in the federal government side. I started in contracting with the Department of Defense, actually, and Air Force down by Vandenberg Air Force Base in Santa Barbara, supporting the Western Launch Range, essentially. So if you're familiar with space launch and missile launch and whatnot, the Western Launch Range is basically where all that has happened.
Wow.
And then from there, went over to the Department of Homeland Security, also in the federal government, doing a lot of the immigration and naturalization, procurements and supporting that mission. And then ultimately went to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, and that, I oversaw the all the procurement for all the hospitals in the state of Texas. You know, I was the VHA deputy director and then later director of contracting, supporting all of those hospitals. So it was a very, very exciting, time. And then after that, I went to a local government and dealing specifically with transportation procurement. So I worked for the Valley Transportation Authority, basically the transit authority for the Silicon Valley in San Jose. And then now in my role as chief procurement officer for the state of Alaska, basically I see myself as the strategic leader and senior procurement executive. And so I provide basically policy guidance and recommendations to the executive branch. I go through the trenches if I need to, all the way to just writing policies and procedures. Mm-hmm. So, I'm very hands-on. I've been routinely been involved with our teams on basically how to craft RFPs, and if we need to, go a certain route, I provide guidance on that as well. And of course, I also oversee, the procurement function, all the procurement function in the state of Alaska. And as I mentioned earlier, writing the policies and procedures to make sure that that happens in a way that, is in the best interest of the state.
Just a little bit of procurement experience.
Yeah.
Just
a little bit. A lot of leadership experience too. Thor, how is it different working for the state? It's very interesting how you came from one area to the other. How do those two compare?
Yeah, so excellent question. I think that because they're both in the area of public procurement, I think that they share very similar objectives in the sense where, you know, we're trying to utilize the taxpayers' dollars in the most efficient and fair and transparent manner possible. So you'll see that as the overarching theme, both in the federal government and the state government, no matter what role you play. So that in itself, I think, is the primary similarities. You know, there are nuances, little differences, depending on what the objective is on for the state and the state departments. And so those minor differences, I think, are a little bit more subtle, but for the most part, the processes and procedures are very much the same. Transparency, openness, and full open competition wherever we can.
Right.
So Thor, I'm really interested in the policies and procedures part of it. So when you got to Alaska, were there any specific policies and procedures that you saw an opportunity to either enhance or change or add?
I think that the procurement process in the state is pretty robust in the sense where, we model our procurement process under the American Bar Association Model Procurement Code. So for the most part, we covered the majority of the areas that, that we need to ensure that we do to protect the state. But there are areas that I think we're a little lacking in, and particularly in areas of, contractor performance evaluation, past performance information, and taking that little extra step to be a little bit more transparent and also a little more inclusive in how we utilize state contracts. So some of those things, we tackle head on. Obviously, the COVID experience in the last year and a half or so has kind of diverted us a little bit from some of those initiatives. But, we are looking at some rewrites to the procurement code and particularly to our policies and procedures to ensure that, that we modernize our processes and are in sync with our sister agencies, our sister states, and then also with the federal government as well.
Yeah, that's actually a great segue into our conversation today. The reason that we've asked you to talk with us is that we know that Alaska's procurement office has been going through the centralization process, and we want you to tell us about that a little bit and your role in that. I know you kind of touched on that. Is there a specific team in your procurement office that manages the centralization efforts, or is that outsourced?
Yeah, so that's an excellent question. Let me just give a little background on the procurement consolidation effort, and then I'll go ahead and go into that question on who's managing that effort. So Alaska operates in a sort of fragmented and decentralized procurement model in the sense where, the chief procurement officer is named by the legislature as the procurement head for all the state. But then, the CPO delegates that authority independently to the departments. And so the departments then have a lot of unlimited authority to essentially contract in whatever manner is best for them to meet the mission. So that kind of fragmentation and decentralization has its benefits in the sense where it provided some flexibilities to the departments, but obviously it also had a lot of drawbacks. There's a lot of duplications of policies and whatnot. And so the governor saw that. And so in 2019, the governor issued Administrative Order 304, which called for the consolidation of all state procurement functions in the state into one central office. And we call that central office the Office of Procurement and Property Management. So OPPM.
Right.
This started back in 2019. Right after the Amendment Order, the Department of Administration did an independent study with a third-party firm to focus on some of the back office support functions, including procurement, and how best to utilize those support functions. And then that sort of kicked us off into the procurement consolidation. So starting in March of 2020 is when we first kicked off the consolidation effort. We spent meetings. So we had a couple of meetings with the cabinet members, the commissioners of all the different departments, and basically just share with them our plans, upcoming milestones, and then, of course, answer any questions, concerns that the cabinet members may have. And then from there, we went into the weeds. Essentially, we started having one-on-ones with departments, and tried to understand what their needs are, So at this point, primarily my role is the change champion, but also more importantly, I'm also the cheerleader. So I work with department staff, department leadership, and key stakeholders to articulate and collaborate a vision of what state procurement should look like in Alaska. So to your question then is, you know, whether this is outsourced or whether it's kept in-house, it's definitely kept in-house. One of the challenges we have here, I think, and we'll find it with other, you know, governments everywhere, is, you know, a constrained budget. And so we articulated the vision to our commissioner, and she challenged us to see if we can do this in-house without relying on any sort of, you know, external contract or support. So, you know, I like that many times these major transformation initiatives, you know, you hire multiple program managers and consultants, you know, and they kind of run with you in partnership, and they create training videos and videos to informational videos, communication videos, and fun little things. You know, we didn't have the budget for that, unfortunately. So, but what essentially we did is we did a lot of these work in-house. You know, we managed it independently. I think that the OPPM leadership team took took the charge. And then, you know, in addition to that, you know, collaborations and partnerships with the department commissioners and our department admin services directors were also a key part of that. You know, I mean, they were a key partner in driving the vision and the mission forward. And of course, you know, our state procurement staff and other partners, such as our ERP program managers, finance officers, logistics and inventory officers, you know, all of those are key players in the centralization effort, you know, that the state basically is leading. So, it was all done, potentially all of these are done in-house.
So I'm hearing that there's a lot of communication, a lot of partnership, and maybe just a hint of luck in there.
Yeah, I think that would be fair to say.
Right. Well, yeah, because I mean, you've got to get a lot of different signatures. You got to get a lot of sign off and a lot of buy in, and that's not necessarily an easy thing to do, especially while you're still doing your job, right?
Right. And I think that, you know, because we're doing this in the time of COVID as well, it presented the additional layer of challenge. Mm-hmm. So not only were we doing our normal day-to-day work, we were responding to a worldwide pandemic that was impacting Alaska significantly. And then on top of that, mm-hmm. we were also driving a major transformation initiative in the state of Alaska, you know, to consolidate these efforts. So, you know, I think that you mentioned buy-in. I mean, buy-in was definitely one of the key ingredients that we needed. And, you know, it was a little challenging at first. You know, I think that for the most part, change is always a little unsettling to folks. And I know myself, you know, I mean, I don't like change either, you know, and when I'm in a certain, you know, areas and parts of my life.
Sure.
So, but, you know, I think that was one of the first challenges that we had to overcome. You know, and then in addition to that, you know, I mean, I think that there are other, you know, as I mentioned earlier, our personal resource constraints, I think were another big factor. And you know, we did a lot of these work, potentially all of them in-house. And so, you know, that took a lot of our times too. I mean, it wasn't uncommon for my team and I, and some of our leadership teams in the departments, you know, to be working, you know, 10, 12 hour days during some of these time periods, just to try to manage, you know, all these competing priorities.
Thor, I had a question about you being a cheerleader, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say that this is a pretty heavy lift in terms of this centralization. But how did you convey the value of the centralization and create that buy-in with the agency heads? What were some of the things that you passed on to them of how this would really help their agency and in terms of the cabinet leaders' buy-in?
Yeah, Joshua, I think that's an excellent question. I think that one of the key things that we needed to show was a unified vision, and of course, you know, the overall goal at the end. So, I think that having a unified structure in procurement not only provides a lot of consistency and redundancy of work, and allows our staff to get things done quicker. But in addition to that, it also creates an organization where our staff can actually grow. And because it's a large organization now, you know, the composing of, you know, every procurement state employee, you know, it gave our staff the flexibility to be detailed to certain departments, to be detailed to certain areas. You know, I mean, having come from the federal government, working in the defense procurement space, in the healthcare procurement space, you know, in the transportation camera space, you know, sometimes you kind of lose vision or lose sight of some of the other specialties are needed when you do procurement in other areas, you know, like public safety or natural resource or fish and game. So being able to have that large organization and have our folks potentially move between departments, I think is one of the key areas that we also, you know, convey to our staff and to try to get that buy-in and, you know, and try to just, you know, it was essentially a cheerleading effort and continuing to communicate the vision and the milestones and the benefits of consolidation with us key stakeholders.
That's great. And did you notice that some of the agencies that you were talking to actually invited what the centralization could provide for them in terms of those aspects of procurement and being able to provide that service to them to responsibly purchase what they needed?
Yeah, it definitely does help. And I think that what we actually did was we actually did a two-step process where we implemented an early adopter program, which comprised of just, you know, a few of the departments. And essentially they were our tip of the spear to learn all the potential issues and problems. And then after the early adoption program, we brought in the rest of the state. So, you know, I think that kind of approach has been very helpful.
And that's great.
Sense. Yeah.
And so you've touched on a couple of these, but like your main overall strategy that you've practiced for the centralization effort, what would you say that you have been focusing on and directing your team to focus on to make sure that you all are on track to provide the centralization for the state of Alaska?
Yeah, so I think that some of the most important strategies that we implemented, but basically communication is foremost one of them, being transparent and also being flexible and being adaptable. So communication is first. You know, I think that is paramount, you know, because in any kind of major transformation initiative, when people aren't given answers or, you know, your answers are not provided, they start making up answers to their questions. And so it was very important, very clear for us to articulate a vision and articulate a message continuously, you know, message and communicate to the stakeholders and our staff. And so that, you know, no one was basically left in the dark. So that went from the cabinet level all the way to, you know, our most junior procurement staff. Everyone was in sync and knew what was going on with the consolidation and essentially knew the next steps and the milestone. So that, I think, was one of the main strategies that was paramount and important in this effort. You know, the other is, of course, transparency and our willingness to pivot and modify milestones as needed to accommodate the unexpected. You know, I mean, I think we started this just a month before COVID started. So that kind of gave you a feel of how we had to pivot quickly, because we thought that we're just going to do consolidation and then we had to do now consolidation in COVID.
Understatement. So, quickly is an understatement, I think, probably.
Yeah. So just being transparent on where we are, what some of the pros and cons are, and what the next steps will be, I think is very important to be able to buy to be able to establish trust. Trust is important in this kind of effort. And so having that, you know, makes the whole process much easier, because now, you're not doubting yourself and other people aren't doubting your motives or intentions as well. And then I think the third strategy that, you know, that we utilize is just being flexible and being adaptable. You know, there's just things that are going to be unanticipated. There's unanticipated events that are going to arise. And, you know, it's going to just blow your milestones out of the water. And then you have to just kind of look at it, readjust, and then just keep moving forward. So I think that flexibility and adaptability, I think, is also very important. It was definitely a strategy that we ingrained in our staff and ingrained in our folks to make sure that, that they understood that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We've talked to chief learning officers from different states, and we've talked about change management, and we've talked about how you implement changes, and you talk a lot about messaging. Can you give us an example of a way that you communicated some of these changes to the staff specifically, and how you were kind of successful in getting them on board?
Sure. Yeah. So I think that we utilize a variety of different methods. We did a lot of one-on-ones. So we met one-on-ones with the departments to uniquely explore some of their challenges and their situation and see how we can help and support, you know, and alleviate some of those challenges. But we also did a lot of town halls as well, you know, where we are communicating to the larger audience, and our town halls, you know, was inclusive, including anyone that had any kind of touch point with procurement in the state. So that didn't have to be procurement officers. It could be, you know, our finance officers, our budget officers, you know, to our admin staff, anyone that, you know, that potentially would be impacted by the consolidation. So by utilizing those two-pronged methods, you know, I think that that helped us in getting the, you know, that buy-in that we needed to be able to move, you know, this ginormous, you know, mountain.
Thor, when you are going through this centralization effort and the consolidation that you are encountering from agency to agency, is there anything that that your procurement office or the central procurement office has learned about what other agencies have done? And is there an opportunity to incorporate some of the things that you've learned into the efforts going forward when you do finally centralize?
And Josh, I think it's an excellent question. I think that, you know, what we learn is that every department is as unique as the individuals within them.
Oh, I like that. So I would like to put that on a t-shirt, I think.
There are definitely some departments that are very mature in their procurement processes. And there was a lot of lessons learned that we're able to capture from that and use to showcase, you know, it's, some of the reasons and rationales behind consolidation. You know, look, we can utilize these RFI templates or these RFP templates, you know, that are very thorough. You know, all these other departments don't have to keep coming up with new forms to do it. So, you know, those kind of things, I think, were very meaningful and helpful. To help us to help push this momentum along.
Yeah, because some people think that, you know, I mean, by itself, centralization has a negative connotation about it. But there also is an opportunity and some benefits that come out of the centralization as knowledge sharing comes in and just kind of gleaning a lot of those best efforts and best practices to be able to formalize a really solid procurement effort once that centralization is completed.
Yeah, Josh, and if you don't mind, I'd like to piggyback on that comment because I think that's a very valid point, you know, because when you hear words like centralization, consolidation, those generally, you know, connotate things like, you know, slash and burn, fires and layoffs and things like that, you know, and we had to make it very clear at the very beginning of this, you know, that there is no plan to lay any staff off or whatnot, and that, you know, this purely an effort to better align the state's purchasing power and purchasing authority so that, you know, we can leverage that spend better. And so we made it very clear that there wasn't going to be a change in physical location. You know, families weren't going to be forced to move from one city to another, you know, employees weren't going to be laid off.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about demotivating people. What to you has been the toughest process or aspect of centralization? I'm sure that there's been many, but maybe if you could just pick the top two.
Sure. Yeah. So I think that the top two, I think the first one would be user acceptance to the new normal. I think that's one, and I'll elaborate a little bit more on that. And I think the other challenge and the toughest part of this process, you know, has just been the standardization of forms and processes throughout the entire state. So, my first comment regarding the user acceptance of a new normal. I mean, I think that as professionals and as human beings, we get comfortable with doing things a certain way. And when change happens, you know, it forces us to realign ourselves, realign our priorities and our objectives, and reconsider, you know, and what kind of value we're playing to the organization, to the state, and to our own departments. And so, you know, that could create some, you know, unease in folks. And, you know, anytime you're also realigning employees and supervisors or whatnot, that always brings some feelings of uncertainty. So we had to make sure that we were very careful to that. This consolidation effort has not been just a technical transformation. It has been an emotional one as well, taking care of the emotions and how our staff would be could potentially be facing the emotions and challenges that they could potentially be facing. So we were looking at all that, and, you know, but still, even today. I think that, you know, the user acceptance of a new procurement structure, a new procurement model is still one of our ongoing challenges. And it's just going to take time. You know, I mean, I think any major change, any traumatic change in any person's life, it just takes, it just has to go through a cycle, right? You know, it's going to take time before, you know, there's a genuine acceptance of that new process or that new normal. And then the other thing that I mentioned was the standardization of forms and processes. And I think that that's one of our biggest, you know, toughest challenges as part of this situation effort as well. And, you know, working with 14 different unique state departments, you know, and I'm not even going to talk about all the different agencies, the hundreds of other agencies underneath those departments, you know, but 14, you know, state departments, you know, and all of them doing things also separately through a very fragmented process that I mentioned earlier. You know, I think that to standardize all those forms and processes is a challenge, and it's going to be an ongoing challenge. And, you know, it's not something we're going to be able to do overnight, but, you know, it's a challenge that we're willing to work with the departments on and come up with a solution as a team.
Thor, I was going to ask you about the Alaska Centers of Procurement Excellence. So your office has set up 7 of these new centers as an effort for the consolidation to manage strategic purchasing and statewide contracts. Would you be able to elaborate on this and what it means for your state and really what the goals are for these centers? Because it sounds like a really, really cool idea.
Yeah, so our, you know, I'm very proud of our Alaskan Centers of Procurement Excellence. They are basically our statewide contracting centers, you know, that manage, you know, all of our statewide contracts. And so, you know, I think what we saw with our previous procurement model in the state was that, you know, there was a lot of duplication and efforts in buying the same thing. We have one department buying groceries, for example, for the prison inmate, and then another department buying the same thing for their, you know, their staff, their firefighters, you know, fighting forest fires in remote areas of Alaska. So a lot of those things were being duplicated. And that's just one example. Mm-hmm. And so what the consolidation effort allowed us to do was actually look at all of these redundant spend being processed by, you know, by redundant folks, you know, just kind of doing the same thing, and look at ways to streamline and more strategically align those duties under, you know, one functional area. So we came up with the Alaskan Centers of Procurement Excellence as a way to do that. And as you mentioned, Josh, there are 7 centers of excellence. You know, they travel, healthcare, and medical, for example, transportation, those kind of things. And so each center is managed by a center manager. And their job is basically to look at the overall spend of the state related to their specific centers and their sorts of the functional areas, and then try to consolidate all those purchases into one center and manage it at the statewide level. And so that reduces, as you can imagine, reduces a lot of the redundancy and you know, and personnel effort, and just, you know, issuing out the same RFP or issuing out the same award for that contract. So the Alaskan Centers of Procurement Excellence are basically very non-department specific teams. As I mentioned, they award our statewide master agreements and contracts that can be utilized throughout the state, not only by our departments, but also by our local government and jurisdictions as well. And then, of course, the objective is to basically just get a better grasp of our spend management, you know, be able to leverage our spend, be able to do it in a way that, you know, is the most beneficial to the taxpayers and utilizes the taxpayers' dollars in the most efficient and a fair way. So that, in addition to some of the other benefits of the centers, you know, is to basically just provide great consistency in goods and services. So, you know, instead of having a variety of different specs, for example, for laptops, you know, we can work with our Office of Information Technology to come up with very defined parameters. And then, you know, now we have consistency in being able to service, you know, our equipment, because now there's not, you know, 200 different operating systems and configurations and whatnot. You know, there's a very finite amount, and it's easier for us to troubleshoot and work on those kind of things. So those are some of the you know, some of the things that I think, some of the benefits that have resulted as part of the consolidation effort and also the standing up of the Center of Excellences.
What's an experience that you could share with some other states maybe that were looking to do something similar or just really liked this idea?
Yeah, so I think that that's an excellent question. And for any organization looking to go through, or perhaps is currently going through a similar effort, I guess my advice and what I'd like to share with them would be, you know, to just be patient. Be patient and be prepared to continually articulate the vision and the motives and the motivations for why you're doing what you're doing. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. And, you know, and we found that sometimes the information that we share with staff, we have to share multiple times and articulate it in many different ways and in many different forums, to one-on-ones, to town halls. And sometimes it still doesn't get through. And so you just have to be patient. You just have to know that it's going to take time. And if you're patient enough, persistent enough, and get other folks to buy in on the vision, then ultimately you'll slowly get there. You'll slowly get to the to the end of the finish line. So that would be the advice that I would give to anyone looking to go through something similar.
Thor, when you were talking about the strategy and when you have stood up these seven new centers of excellence, what had you discovered in terms of consolidating contracts? Was there some particular contracts that particularly needed consolidated? And then how did the agencies react to that? You know, on one hand, they could say, we want this control. We've always had this contract. We want the control of it. We want to buy what we want to buy. Or were some agencies like, you guys can take this, go ahead. You know, in terms of those two scenarios, I'm guessing that you've seen maybe, could you, has there ever been anything like that in your experience?
Yeah, Josh, I think that, you know, your comments are really relevant. I think that we get the whole spectrum. You know, there are some departments that say, you know, don't touch my contracts. And then there are some that say, hey, why aren't you taking our contracts? Take them all, take them all. So we get the whole spectrum, you know. And I think that, you know, from us, you know, we use the objective criteria. You know, how many departments does this type of contract touch us? And if it touches multiple contract, multiple departments, mm-hmm. then you know, then it makes sense to go to one of our centers. Mm-hmm. If it's something that's uniquely tailored to mm-hmm. support the mission of a particular department, then it makes sense to leave that with the procurement staff in the department. So that was our objective. But you know, mm-hmm. I think that there isn't a one solution to the answer. You know, I think that it really just depends on the customer, mm-hmm. On the departments, and then you know on what their objectives are, and then you know weigh that with the risks. You know, is there risks and having, you know, some of these contracts be managed outside of the centers, or is the risk low? And what is the value proposition of having those managed outside? And then if that's the case, and if all that, you know, after doing that analysis, if it makes sense, you know, then we either take it in to the center or we leave it with the departments.
Yeah, and like you said, it's still in its infancy. So I think you'll probably find out more about that. You'll probably be able to answer that question with a little more info in a year from now.
Yeah, of course.
So Thor, now we're going to move to a new segment called Key Takeaways.
Key Takeaways.
Thor, this is actually the first time that we're doing this, so we really appreciate you being our guinea pig, so to speak. Thor, Josh, and I are going to present you with key takeaways that we've got from the interview. Thor, you're going to decide whose takeaway is better, mine or Josh's, okay? And really the point here is just to reiterate the message in a fun way, and also for me to brag to Josh later about how much better I am. So I'm going to let Josh go first. Josh, will you present your key takeaways to Thor?
All right, Thor, my key takeaway is that centralization is easy. It's the easiest thing in the world.
Where have you been for this whole interview?
That's quoted right there.
I'm definitely going to win. Right?
Thor, you've done such a good job. I was just sucking up. But in all seriousness, I really like the takeaway of user acceptance of a new normal. We can apply that in our regular lives, obviously, the new normal, you know, in quotes, that's almost been beat to the ground. But in terms of centralization, really having the user down at the user level be comfortable and accept the new normal. And I think that what you hit on is being a cheerleader and having that emotional aspect to really create that buy-in and create that user confidence. I really like the acceptance of a new normal.
I guess that was pretty good.
It was pretty good, Kevin.
The pressure's on, Kevin. Right,
I should have went first.
We'll flip a coin next time.
Yeah, we'll switch it up. So, Thor, my key takeaways are that through changes and through this consolidation, adaptability, flexibility, communication, and transparency are key. But even more than that, you talked about a unified structure that grows staff and provides that flexibility. So just paying attention to those key elements are extremely important in consolidation.
Well, Kevin and Josh, you guys don't make this easy for me at all. Hey. I think that Josh's key takeaway touches on some very important aspect of the challenges and some of the emotional, issues that, that we as leaders need to be mindful of and consolidation, and then I think Kevin, your key takeaway talks is right on point with some of the things that, that we need to look at to make a transformation, successful. So I think that it's going to be a tough one, but I'd say, so Josh, I'm hoping you have a thicker skin. I'm saying that.
Kevin,
I think that you probably hit more of the major marks during this discussion.
Oh, all right, Kevin. Oh, starts 1-0. Thor,
your check's in the mail. Check's in the mail, my friend. No, Josh, you did good. We're doing a virtual handshake. That was a good. That was a good run.
Good match. Good match, sir.
Many more to go. 1-0. Thor, before we go, do you have any advice for our listeners? I know you talked a little bit about advice for the Centers of Excellence, your experiences, but this is just more of a general advice for our listeners.
Yeah, Kevin. So I think that, whether you're in procurement or not, I mean, some general advice that I would say is, just take time to enjoy the simple accomplishments in the day-to-day. I think that sometimes we get bogged down in our, some of our challenges and issues, and we forget that it's those minor, small victories daily that, keeps us going. So, things on the procurement thing, for example, things like just awarding a contract or resolving a protest, getting an RFP issue. Those are the small day-to-day wins that we have to be mindful of. And if we can use those to support our foundation, I think that we'll continue to keep going and continue to grow. And of course, just don't take things too personally and have fun.
Yeah, I think, Thor, I think you actually win the key takeaway, because that's pretty good advice.
Yeah.
Thor Vu, Chief Procurement Officer for the State of Alaska, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Josh. It was a pleasure talking with you this morning.
Kevin, I can't believe you won the takeaway game.
Oh, haters gonna hate, Josh. Haters gonna hate.
All right. Well, I might have you next time. I think I'm like 0-1 now.
It is 0-1. Well, technically, we played it with Dan, and neither of us won. So right now, it's 0-1.
Oh, 1-1. I guess we tied one, right?
No, we both lost that one, didn't we?
Okay. All right. Well, next time, Kevin. Well, I really like to see how Thor sees his role as cheerleader as opposed to like the key stakeholder in all of this. He puts emphasis on articulating and collaborating a vision of what state procurement should look like in the state of Alaska.
Absolutely. I think it's important in a leadership role to know when to get out of your own way. And I like how much he focuses on the change management aspect, too, and the buy-in from his staff. It seems like he's really concerned with their mental well-being.
That's really cool.
It'll be interesting to see how those Centers for Procurement Excellence work out like a year from now.
Yes. We definitely have to do a follow-up episode with Thor. This one was great. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it for us today on The Pulse. Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to check out the NASPO blog at pulse.naspo.org.
I'm Kevin Miner.
I'm Josh Dakota.
Until next time.